just good to be here this morning again. And just some of the, Sean, I like what you said in the end, just about safety and praying that God's will would be done, that God's purpose would be fulfilled. And so just coming into a new year, that is just an awesome goal. That not just a goal, but I think it's something that we should strive for and live out, God, that your will be done. You know, if it takes a little bit of pain, if it takes a little bit of suffering, we're okay with that. But God, your will be done. Just total surrender, and I see that in you, Sean. So I want to bless you in that as you go again, not knowing what you're getting yourself into. And for those of us that know Sean, you know, he likes adventure. And so part of this is who he is. But I'm excited just the way that, you are being led by God and you go and through whatever doors open and for God's glory. And so that is really good. The other song that really spoke to me this morning, Matt, that you led was the very last song. Speak to my heart, Lord. You said, Lord, here's my heart. So you're committing your heart and you're saying, God, speak what is true. And thinking of coming into a new year as well, that is a super song or prayer, whatever you want to say, to your Heavenly Father. So you know what? I'm coming to 2018. God, here's my heart. Speak what's true. And when you were singing that, I thought of you know, just God speaking. What do we do when God speaks? How do we hear God speak? And I thought of Habakkuk chapter 2. In Habakkuk chapter 2 is where the Lord replied to Habakkuk. But in the beginning of the chapter, it says, this is what he says. He says, I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I'm going to give to his complaint. And then in verse 2, it says, then the Lord replied. So what Habakkuk did here, he got himself in position. He said, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to sit here so I can hear from God. And so when I think of hearing from God, we all want to hear from God, and we just sing the song, Lord, here's my heart, speak what's true. We're telling God, this thing kind of bothers me because it's right from my head. We're telling God to speak to us, but my question I want to ask myself and ask you is, are we in a position to where we can even hear from God? And so another thing, coming into 2018, are we going to position ourselves to where we can even hear from God, that when he does speak, that we hear? Because he does. So anyway, for what it's worth there. This morning, I'm going to start out with a question. And now this question is, it's a simple question. It's an important question. It's a very, for me, it was a very eye-opening question. It has the potential to, be life-changing. It really does. And I have been thinking about this question for about a month, so I have had time to process this question. And but I'm going to ask it this morning, and we're going to keep it up on the screen. That way, this is where a lot of this message came out from this morning. And you may or may not be surprised by the answer, but here's a question. It's not that long. It's, I think, about 11 words. So here's the question. Is there more to the Christian life than you are experiencing? It's a pretty loaded question, but think about this a little bit. Is there more to the Christian life than you are experiencing? And I'm not just talking about, you know, the word experiencing there in the end has a lot of weight. Because I'm talking about experience. I'm not just saying something you talk about, something you read about. I'm talking about experiencing it. And so I look at this question, and I saw that question, and I'm like, there's so much in that question. And so I asked God, and let me tell you, if you ask God this question, honestly ask God this question, he's going to give you an answer. Because he did for me. And so that's what I want you to ask this question this morning, not just this morning, but is there more to the Christian life than what you're experiencing, or do you have it all? because coming into 2018, we're coming into a new year. And so we're ending 2017, we're starting 2018, and so I want to come in here, and I want each one of us to experience more, to experience it fuller and better and more, because that's who God is. We won't run out. But I want us to go to a new level this year in the Christian life and what you're experiencing. So we're going to, I'm just going to keep that up there the whole time. I'm going to end with that as well. And so that's what I want you to remember, something, one thing that I want you to go out with here this morning. And so we're coming to the end. Today's December 31st, obviously, and 2017 is about to close, whether we want it to or not. Some things we can't change, and that's one thing we can't change, is that 2017 is coming to a close. And so, did you experience what you wanted to experience in 2017, or did God have more? And because of some of the choices you made or some of the decisions you made or some of the places you were, you missed out on some things that God wanted you to experience. Is it possible? And some things you can't go back on. We can't relive 2017 again. The end is coming. It's going to be finished tonight, done. And but then we have a new year, right? In 2018, tomorrow is going to be a new year. So we're coming to an end, and we also want to focus on entering a new year, because we're going to. And there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of goal setting. A lot of people, you know, set goals at the beginning of the year. It seems like kind of the time to do it, which I think is a great thing. If setting goals is very impactful. It's very powerful. We've been talking about that some just recently here as a church. I know Nelson's message a couple weeks ago. For me, I took away a lot of that. On having an end goal and where you want to go sets direction. But before we go to setting goals, thinking of the thing of 2017 coming to an end, is there something in your life that needs to come to an end as well in your Christian life? We put a lot of focus on 2018, on starting a new year, on starting whatever you know, this goals or whatever you decide. But is there something in 2017, or is there something in your life that needs to come to an end in your Christian life? And today's the day to do it. And, you know, maybe there's some hindrances there. Maybe you have a bad habit that you're just tired of. Maybe there's poor time management. Maybe there's some idols in your life. An idol is something that just simply gets between you and God. And so maybe you're coming to the end of the year and saying, you know what? There's some things in my life, in my Christian life, in my experience with God, that need to stop, that I need to repent of. Now's the time to do it. Perfect time to do it. And so coming to the end of the year, we're closing that year out. If there's something in your life, let's take that time to close it as well. And maybe there's just some priorities that you want to change. Maybe some of your priorities are flip-flopped, and you know, you want to decide to do that. Now's a perfect time to do it. Maybe if you look at 2017, maybe you know, just look over your year a little bit. And I read an email just this week about what's God's perspective on your life looking over 2017. I see my perspective. But from God's perspective, and you know, I can't answer that for you, but from our Heavenly Father looking down at 2017, what does He see? How did our walk go with Him? And it was maybe in Revelation 3. Actually, I'm just going to quick read there, because I just read that this week as well, and it could tie into this. Revelation 3. Was to the church at Sardis. It says, to the angel of Sardis, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. And that one there kind of spoke to me. Maybe it was because God was speaking to me as well. So I'm sharing it as to you. But the thing of, some things that are dead that should be made alive. Or some things that just fell asleep. In verse 2 it says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God." And I was thinking about just sleeping a little bit too. Are there some things that we just simply just fell asleep on? And when you fall asleep, you don't know that you're sleeping until you wake up, right? And so he's saying here in Revelation 3, there's some things that you need to wake up. And so this morning, I want to ask God, I want you to ask God, and I want to ask God as well, are there some things that I fell asleep in that are dead that need to wake up as we go into 2018? Some things that we need to disconnect, maybe cut off, maybe repent of, whatever, so that we can start 2018 being fully alive, being fully present with God. And it was kind of interesting as well. The National Highway Traffic Safety Association says there are about 100,000 accidents per year just due to people either falling asleep or being drowsy. 100,000. And that's obviously, you know, we see that in the physical, but I think it can happen so easily in the spiritual, to where we just simply fall asleep and we don't know we're falling asleep until someone comes and says, "Wake up!" And that's what happened here in Revelation. So let's ask God. You know, just thinking of coming to the end of 2017, ending things is what I'm the point I want to get here this morning right now is maybe there are some things that we need to end. It's got to stop, and we know we want it to stop. And if it's in our power to stop, then stop it. Or ask your heavenly, ask God to say, "You know what, God, is there something in my life that I'm doing that needs to stop? Stop it." What are some other hindrances? We were talking about bad habits, poor time management, idols, priorities, just some of those things. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 talks about quench not the spirit. Maybe we're quenching the spirit. And whatever God reveals to you that you need to stop, I encourage you to do it. And thinking of coming to an end, but then also starting a new year, I want to look at that just a little bit as well. David, in 2 Samuel, when I was thinking about this, I said, I asked God, I said, "What's a Bible character that you want me to talk about in regards to this? You know, coming to an end, recognizing you messed up, and but then you take care of it and you keep going. Who's someone?" And David is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was a man after God's own heart, right? But did he have some things that he messed up in, some things that he needed to take care of? Check it out. I'm just going to read some of it in 2 Samuel 11. It says, "In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. They destroyed the Ammonites and they besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, 'Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her." She had purified herself from the uncleanness. Then she went back. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent a word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Joab sent to him David. When Uriah came, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go to your house, wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace and a gift from the king that was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to go to the palace with all the master's servants and did not go to the house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked, "Haven't you just come from a distance? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as I live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said, stay here one more day. Tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And David's invitation, he ate, he drank with him. David made him drunk in the evening. Uriah went out to sleep on the mat among his servants. He didn't go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is the fierce, and then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at the place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite was dead. Okay? Now, we know that story. But I'm thinking of David. This is David, a man after God's own heart. And we look at this story and the decisions that he made and what it led to. First of all, just the decision that David had when he was just up on the rooftop, just walking around. And he looked at something that he shouldn't have, and then it just went from there to the next, and the steps just kept going until, not only did he get her pregnant, but then he was a murderer as well. And so we see this thing just progressing bigger and bigger and bigger, and then in chapter 12, Nathan comes and gives him this little story. He comes to David and gives this little story. And David, in verse 5, it says, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing. And then Nathan said, David, it's you. And then David had another decision to make. After Nathan came to him and told him, and so David had another choice, and you know what he did? He repented. He stopped it right there. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Maybe we're not involved in adultery or a murder, but there's other things that when the Lord reveals it to us, and I want us to ask this today, if the Lord's revealing something to you that needs to be stopped, it's time to repent and to stop it and repent of it. And you know what? David did that, and he didn't do it again. David only has one Bathsheba in his life. And David was still a man after God's own heart. God still used him incredibly. And so we know a lot of the other stories of David, the rest of his life, of how he did so many things for God and was used by God in so many ways. And there was a time where he messed up, but he took care of it. And so maybe there's just something this morning that isn't right, and I'm not here to condemn. I'm just here, let's bring it to God and say, you know what, God? I repent. Take care of it. I'm done with it. And keep going and keep being used for God's glory. Just a couple other people. How about Paul? Paul, we have a lot of the New Testament because of Paul. But you look at Paul's earlier journey before his conversion. I mean, he was out to put Christians in prison. He was out to destroy them. He was just, that part of his life until he met God. And he came to a decision where I'm done with that life. And he was. He didn't go back to that life again. And so let's do that. We have Peter. Okay, all right, Peter. Peter didn't have just one chance. Peter did it three times to where he denied Christ, right? One, two, three. But after the third time, Peter very clearly repented, and he didn't do it again. And so that's what I'm talking about this morning. The things that need to be taken care of, let's take care of and move on. Because when the Lord forgives, he forgives. And so we see these Bible stories here of these characters that we know very well, that were incredibly used by God. Yes, they messed up, but they took care of their stuff when they recognized that they messed up. So that's what I'm talking about. And so with that in mind, okay, we're ending 1 year, but now we're going into 2018. We're going into a brand new year, and we want to go into this year because we all know that we're only this year, if we live this year, we'll all have 365 days to live. And some people will probably get a lot more done than others. And some of it, a lot of, there's just a lot of choices and decisions and goals and things that are going to be done in 2018. And so what are you going to do in 2018? And I want to give you another question here is, and this should be our foundation, I think this should be the foundation of just coming into 2018, is why you exist. Why are you even here? Going into a new year, some of you are probably making goals. I hope all of you maybe are making some kind of goals that you want to attain this year. But before that, Simon Sinek talks about starting with the why. And so I want to start with that here this morning, coming into this new year. Why are you even here? Do you know why you're even here? Like, really? If you don't know why you're here, it's going to make a lot of things not go so well. I think starting with why is a very foundation of going into a new year, even into your life, of why you exist. What is your purpose? What's the purpose of even living? And some of you might know right off the top of your head. If you do, great. If you don't, I want to talk about it a little bit because I think it's important on knowing why we exist and the reason that we're here. Just a couple verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. These are just, I have three verses here that talk about our purpose. And I'm just going to read those three verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. It's talking about the believer's freedom here. If you go into the chapter and you read down through there. But in verse 31 it says, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, this covers the whole thing here. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. That's your purpose. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's why you're here, to live for the glory of God. Isaiah 43, 7 says this, and if I can find it here real quick. Isaiah 43 is just a great chapter when you want to read down through there. The beginning of the chapter talks about, you know, behold, I form you, I created you, I redeemed you, I know you by your name. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the fire, I'm going to be with you. And in verse 7, it says this. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So everything who is called by his name, who he has created, this is why you're created. You are created for his glory. That's why you're here. So start this year using that as your foundation. The reason I exist is for God's glory. That's one of the main reasons, to live for God's glory. One more in Matthew 5, verse 16. And this is where Jesus is talking about the salt of the earth and keeping your light lit and not letting your candle go out. In verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. That's why you exist. You're here to glorify your Father in heaven. Genesis 1:27. Now we are going back to the beginning. And very first chapter in the Bible. And so thinking of a new year, new day tomorrow, we go back to the beginning of the Bible. And I'm going to, okay, in verse, obviously most of us are very familiar with chapter 1. In the beginning, God does the creation. He says, let there be light, the animals, and the things, the creation happens. All the way through verse 6, I'm sorry, 26. Verse 25, it says, God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock to all their kinds, the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God said, it's good. And then in verse 27, he says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So what does that mean? God created us. We are created in his own image. In the image of God, he created you. Male or female. So what does that mean for us? What does it look like to be created in God's image? What is an image? An image is a person or thing that resembles another one closely. It's a double or a copy. Images are made to image, right? It's kind of hard to explain, but we're made in God's image. But John Piper says, images are created to set forth reality. So we're created in the image of God. And so how do we live that out? We know what images are. And sometimes we see good images, but sometimes we see bad images. Sometimes you look at a picture or something and you can't even tell what it is. Other times you look at a picture and it is just so crystal clear, you know exactly what it is. So there's good images and there's also poor images. And we are created in the image of God. So we are image bearers. So what for image are you portraying to the people around you? This is one of the reasons. This is how you were created. You're created in God's image. Reflecting God is who you are. So are you giving a clear picture, or are people seeing, they don't know what they see because your image is so skewed? Or how about even think about statues, okay? You build statues, so the person that they build, they want them to remember. George Washington, for instance. If you build a statue for George Washington, people would look at the statue and do what? They would think of George Washington. And that's probably the reason they built the statue, right? So people remember George Washington. So a statue is something that's built to remember somebody. And so thinking of building a statue after somebody, could God use you as a statue in God's world to where he could build you and you look like him, that when people look at you, they would think of him? We're created in God's image. And according to Genesis 1:27, here it says, everybody, let us make man in our image. God created man, male and female. We're all created in God's image. And so according to this, thinking that we are God's image bearers, there's about 7 billion people on the earth right now, probably, right around there. So that's 7 billion image bearers walking on the earth right now. Do you think God is interested in displaying his image with 7 billion of them on earth? Yeah. I think God is very interested in sharing his image. It's who he is. And so he created us humans in his image to be image bearers. And so I want to encourage you as you start 2018 to be a clear image bearer for Heavenly Father. That's one of the reasons. That's how you were created. You were born in God's, you were created in God's image. And we are to reflect a clear image of our Heavenly Father. So what does that look like? How do I do that? I think it's just the thing of when we live our life, just simply showing love. showing compassion, showing forgiveness, experiencing peace, acceptance, transformation, just the things that are core value to God, that they would just be a part of who we are. That the things that are important to God, would we could just reflect that, and God's image could just be shown to the world. I don't have a mirror here, but I'm trying to, like, you know, you have God up here, and if you would have a mirror and you set that on a 45, it would just reflect out to the world. And that's what I want us to be going into 2018. Number one, recognizing why we exist. The reason, one of the main reasons you exist and I exist is to bring God glory. So let's remember that. But another thing is that we're created in the image of God. So we are to be a clear mirror of God's glory down and out. Now, just think about it a little bit. If my hand is a mirror, I should have brought a mirror, I guess. I didn't think about it till right now. If my hand is a mirror, most of the mirrors are not mirrored on both sides, right? Most of them have a back plate. So if we are God's mirrors and we are mirroring God from God out to the earth, what happens if we decide to flip that thing? What do we mirror? Nothing. Other than maybe dirt back to dirt. And so maybe it just takes some tweaking and God saying, hey, you know what? I want to be a pure good reflection and mirror. I want to live life in your image that people can see that I'm created in your image. So that's the reason we exist. It's to bring glory to God. And also, let's be clear image bearers, because that's how you were born. That's what's in you. Okay? And now, just in closing here, I want to just thinking of coming into 2018, the Bible is full, literally filled of verses of going and being and seeking wisdom and empowering. And where do you start on, coming into a new year and encouraging people? But I wrote down 10 verses here, and I'm going to put these verses out there, and I want you to, these scriptures out there, I want you just to get them, and then when I say it, you just read it. And these are just verses of, I think, are just good verses to start the new year out with. So I have 10 of them, so here we go. Proverbs 3, verse 4 and 5. Amanda has that. Proverbs 16:3. Matthew 6:19-21. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 19:26. Romans 12:1-2. Philippians 4:13. Ephesians 3:20-21. Philippians 3:13-14. And one more, Hebrews 12:1-3. Okay, thank you. And so I just want you to share these verses, read them, and thinking of coming in and starting a new year, these are just, I'm going to say a fraction of the verses that are in the Bible of what you can take to start a new year and be encouraged and run with that. So why don't we start with Proverbs 3, verse 4 and 5. Yeah, sorry. I must have. Yeah, go. Thank you, Amanda. Yes, I did tell you wrong. I apologize. I meant verse 5 and 6. But those are great. Trust in the Lord this year with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. In some of your ways, acknowledge Him. No, it says in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what's going to happen? Here comes a promise. If you do that, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, guess what he's going to do? He's going to direct your paths this year. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. You want to be successful? According to this verse, if you commit your actions to the Lord, your plans will succeed. Matthew 6, 19 to 21.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven this year. As you start, there's a lot of decisions and things that you can do. But I just want to encourage you, let's do things for God's glory, for God's kingdom. Lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 19, 26.
But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
With God all things are possible. With man it's impossible. Starting a new year, that's a great promise. I say promise. That's just a great, I want to experience more of that. With God, all things are possible. Romans 12, 1 to 2. Amen. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But there's a condition in the beginning. I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then it says, don't be conformed to the world. Maybe there's some things that we're conformed to the world that need to end at the end of 2017, which is today. If the Lord reveals that to you, do it. Philippians 4:13. Amen. We can do some things, no. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen. We don't need more comment on that one. Ephesians 3:20 to 21. Amen. I'll say amen to that as well. To him who can do exceedingly abundantly, just literally blow our minds. He can do it. According to the power that works in you. Did you ever think about that? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, but it says, according to the power that works in you. And so my question for myself and my question for you is, how much of that power am I even allowing in my life? Because that promise has a condition, and there's the condition. According to the power that works in you. And I want each one of us to experience more power through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Amen. We have a race. We're in a race. We're in the race, and this thing is called life. We don't know when it's going to stop for us. We might live all 365 days this year. We might not. We might not even make it till tonight. Either way, we're in this thing called life, and as long as we have life on this earth, we still have choices and things that we can do to live to our fullest potential. Now, is it a walk in the park? No. She just read that It's a race. It's not always going to be difficult. We're in this fight. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Amen. Those verses pretty much sum up what I was talking about here this morning. Forgetting those things which are behind. Taking care of the things that need to end right now. Forgetting them. But then right after that, you press toward the mark to your calling, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what I want us to do today as we start a new year, is forgetting but also pressing for the things that need to be pressed for. Obviously, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, on these two hang all the law and commandments. So there's just two more as we start in here. Is let's love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's do some of the things that we were talking about. Psalms 90. This is just a great chapter as well. In the beginning, it talks about, Lord, you've been our dwelling place before the mountains were born, before the earth was out. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust. It says 1,000 years are in your sight. They're like a day. And then in verse 12, he says this. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. I love that verse. Teach us to number our days. And we're going to have, if we live this year, we're going to have 365 of them. And I think that should be a prayer or goal of every day. Lord, teach me to number my days. I don't want to live a wasted life. I don't want you to live a wasted life. And if you ask God, the Bible is loaded as well, specifically Proverbs, you know, get wisdom, get understanding, get knowledge. Let's learn things. Let's, God, teach me things as we go this year is to teach our days, teach us to number our days. And I was just thinking about that too, just a little different of, you know, we can be taught. We can ask God to teach us things. We can learn through books. We can learn from reading. We can learn from seminars, whatever. We can learn in lots of different ways. But humans are the only thing that God created that has that capacity, that can go and learn and get wisdom and grow. Nothing else can. I mean, yeah, you can teach a dog to do tricks. You can teach animals to do things. I get that. I'm talking about something beyond that. Have you ever seen your dog out reading a book? Or you didn't? You should get a different dog. The animals don't do that. Trees don't do that. Plants and stuff, they don't have that capacity of wanting to learn and wanting to grow, wanting to be taught. If they're taught, their master teaches them. But us as humans, we have that capacity. And so coming into 2018, we as humans, we want to grow. We want to live life to the fullest. I want you to. I want to do that. When we come to the end of our life, that we can hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's not just going to be by going with the flow of things and going with the easy life. That's going to be making some intentional choices, recognizing who we are, why we exist. We're here for God's glory. If there's something in your life that doesn't line up with living for God's glory, then don't do it. Because that's why we exist. And Joshua 24 and 24:15, I love the way Joshua sums this up when he's talking about the people whom you're going to serve. And here he says, but as for me, and he takes it to the next level, okay, as a father. But it says, for me and my house, he takes responsibility for his house. He says, for me and my house, we might serve the Lord. No, we will. We will. I love that. Joshua is saying, it doesn't matter what's going to come down the pike. me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you read through Psalms, I was reading through Psalms some this week. It's amazing to me how many times David says, I will do this. He doesn't say, I might, or if I have time, or when it's convenient. A lot of times David says, I will. And so going into 2018, the things that are important to God, us being reflections of God, let's say I will. I will. I'm going to close with this question again. Is there more to the Christian life than you are experiencing? Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm grateful for your blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. And Father, just coming into the end of 2017 and just reflecting on your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy, peace which passes all understanding. Father, just so many things we have to be grateful for. And we're grateful for that. And so Father, thinking of coming to the end of the year here and recognizing that the 2017 is going to stop. What is it in our lives, Father, this morning that needs to stop? Father, I'm asking that you would reveal to us if there's things in our life that we need to stop. Give us the courage to stop. And Father, thank you that I know for each one of us here, you have more for us. And I just pray, God, that you would open our eyes that we could experience more of you. Father, show us and teach us this year, as we come into a new year, Father, how we can live our life to the fullest, how we can love you more, how we can love our neighbors as ourselves, Father, how we can be image bearers. Father, teach us how to do that, because that's who we want to be. That's what we were created for. That's in our DNA. And so I pray, Father, that that would happen as we go from here into this new year, that as you teach us, we would walk and not grow weary, and we would run and we would not faint. So, Father, thank you for this new year. And so, Lord, as we go from here, I'm grateful for what you're going to do. We know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So I pray, Father, that each one of us would experience more power from you, that we could see that happen. And just the promises. God, you have so many promises. And I'm grateful for those this morning. So, Father, I just want to bless you today, and thank you for each person that's here. May we all do everything for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.